Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from fifth canto, chapter 15, text 12 to 16. And we have on the board text 16, so I'll just read from 12 and then we'll come to the translation and word by word. I read text 12. Yashyadvare Bhagavan Adaratma Mogani Madhyat Yurusamapite Shraddha Visuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpiteya Paramajaharam. Translation. In Maharaj Gaya's sacrifice, there was a great supply of intoxicant known as Soma. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantity of Soma Rasa. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all sacrifices offered into him with pure and firm devotion in a sacrificial arena. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods who were headed by the heavenly king Indra. Lord Vishnu himself also personally came to the sacrificial arena to accept the offerings. Although Maharaj Gaya did not want them, he received all the blessings of the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself. Text 13. Ya prinanna barasi devatiriya manushya vishnu trana avriyanchat priyeta sadhya saha vishva jiva Pritasvayam Pritimagadagayasya. Translation. When the Supreme Lord is pleased by a person's actions, automatically all the demigods, human beings, animals, birds, bees, creepers, trees, grass, and all other living entities, beginning with Lord Brahma, are pleased. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of everyone and is by nature fully pleased. Nonetheless, he came to the arena of Maharaj Gaya and said, I am fully pleased. Purport. It is pleasing stated herein that simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies the demigods and all other living entities without differentiation. If one pours water on the root of the tree, all the branches, twig, flowers, and leaves are nourished. Although the Supreme Lord is self-satisfied, he was so pleased with the behavior of Maharaj Gaya that he personally came to the sacrificial arena and said, I am fully satisfied. Who can compare to Maharaj Gaya? Test 14 and 15. Gaya Gayantyam Chitrara Sugam Navarodha Iti Pradaputra Babuvas Chitraha Durmayam Saptare Dhista Tadvarayam Marichir Marichir Bindu Yatyam Bindu Anidopadaya Tasma Saragyam Madur Nama Bhavan Madam Sumanasi Ritravarta Stato Bhajayam Mantu pramartu, pramartu jayate mantaho satyayam bhavunam tato dusayanam trayastasta tvatur virochanayam virajo virasya satajit paravam putram satam kanyasa visuchin kilajatam. Translation. In the womb of Gayanti, Maharaj Gaya begot three sons named Chitrarata, Sugati, and Avarodhana. In the womb of his wife Urena, Chitrarata begot a son named Samrat. The wife of Samrat was Utkala, and in her womb, Samrat begot a son named Marichi. In the womb of his wife Bindumati, Marichi begot a son named Bindu. In the womb of his wife Saraga, Bindu begot a son named Madhu. In the womb of his wife named Sumana, Madhu begot a son named Viravrata. In the womb of his wife Boja, Viravrata begot two sons named Mantu and Paramartu. In the womb of his wife Satya, Mantu begot a son named Bhauvana. In the womb of his wife Dusana, Bhauvana begot a son named Twasta. In the womb of his wife Virochana, Twasta begot a son named Viraja. The wife of Viraja was Visuchi, and in her womb Viraja begot 100 sons and one daughter. All these sons and the son named Satyajit was predominant. Okay, we are reading now text 16. Prayavratatam vasamam himam virajas charama bhovaha akaradati halam kirtya Vishnu sura ganam yata Prayavratam vansamamivam virajas charamo bhavaha akarodati alaram kritya Vishnu sura ganam yata. Some more ladies, want the juice? Can't say. Prayavratam sanam virajastaram bhava andarat kritya Vishnu sura ganam yata. Vyavraptam vasam nimam Prayavratam vansam imam Prayavratam vansam karodatyalam kritya Vishnu suraganam yata. Oh, did you want to try any?
Can't see. Yeah.
It's too far away?
No, it's the glare. Light.
The light is not there. No? Okay, no problem. Move on, word by words. Tatra. In that connection, I am slokaha. There is this famous verse. Prayavratam. Coming from King Priyavrata, Vamsam, the dynasty, Imam, this, Viraja, King Viraja, Charama Utbhavaha, the source of 100 sons, headed by Satyajit. Akarat, decorated. Hati Alam, very greatly. Kritya, by his reputation, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Suraganam, the demigods, Yataha, just as. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. There is a famous verse about King Viraja. Because of his high qualities and wide fame, King Viraja became the jewel of the dynasty of King Priyavrata. Just as Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorates and blesses the demigods. Please repeat after me. There is a famous verse about King Viraja. Because of his high qualities and wide fame, King Viraja became the jewel of the dynasty of King Priyavrata. Just as Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorate and blesses the demigods. Purport. Within a garden, a flowering tree attains a good reputation because of its fragrant flowers. Similarly, if there is a famous man in a family, he is compared to a fragrant flower in a forest. Because of him, an entire family can become famous in history. Because Lord Krishna took birth in a Yadu dynasty, the Yadu dynasty and the Yadavas have remained famous for all times. Because of King Viraja's appearance, the family of Maharaj Priyavrata has remained famous for all times. That's the end of Bhaktivedanta Purport, the 5th canto, 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the descendant of King Priyavrata. Om Ajnana Dhimirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chachrum Nidharminatasmai Sri Gurave Namaham Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Madhijaya Padaka Swamini Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Madhibhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasatade Sattarine Pancha kalpa karu vesta kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnavi bhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So before commencing this attempt to speak some suitable word in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I request all the blessing of the Vaishnava assembly here so that I may say something sensible and inspirational to you. So in this particular sloka today, we learn about King Priyavrata, King Gaya, and the quality of those kings. So, Srila Prabhupada explained a purport, like in a forest when there is a beautiful tree, a nice flower which gives nice smell, that forest becomes very much attractive. So similarly, in a family when there is a famous person, then the whole family becomes also renowned. And I was meditating on this and I was thinking, usually, when we think, for example, of some different country, you know, for example, we think of Germany, the first thing comes to your mind is Hitler. You know, he was a very powerful person, but because of him, because when people think of Germany, the first thing they think is Hitler. They don't think about BMW or Mercedes car. The first thing they think of is the place where Hitler came from. You know, he killed so many people, he did so many nasty things. So, similarly, in a family, when there is, or in a kingdom, when there is a very famous, pious person, the person can actually, you know, make the old family very famous and very known. And Srila Prabhupada explained, because Krishna was born in Raja, the Yadu dynasty, they become very famous. Another place I was thinking, when you think of Sri Lanka, then immediately what comes to your mind, at least in my mind, and comes about Ravana. That was the place where Ravana used to be. So, you know, because of Ravana, that place is known, you know. Okay, Sri Lanka was a place where Ravana used to live, which was a demon, he was killed by Ram. So like that, how important is for us to understand about the quality of those kings and the quality we should manifest. So we saw Srila Prabhupada, and of course in our parampara we have so many great acharya, great personality, which enrich our Vaishnava traditions. So similarly, when Srila Prabhupada appeared on this planet, he changed completely the history of this world just by his presence. So how important is to understand the quality of those kings? Now, I was thinking, usually people think these kings that were very valorous and Kshatriya king, but while traveling for the last 35 years in India, I see many places, and sometimes you see Raja Pratap Singh, you go to Jaipur Museum and you see the king is sitting on a horse. But you see this guy, he's not like Bhima, huge muscles. You think this king was so powerful with his sword. But some of these kings were very skinny and they were very short, but they were so powerful that they used to, you know, kill so many thousands of people, and they used to be leaders. They used to go in a battlefield with thousands of soldiers, and they used to be in the front leading them. They were fearless. Usually people think, oh, this king must be so strong, huge. Because I have a big body, I think, oh my God, this king must be huge guys, you know, they do martial arts. Nothing. Their power was their determination to protect the citizen, to establish Dharma. It doesn't matter how strong they were, it doesn't matter how physically they were very powerful, but their determination and their courage in establishing Dharma was something that at one point they would not go below certain standards. See, what was the difference between these kings and our today politicians? Is that these today's politicians, they are all corrupt. Why? They have no motivation to establish Dharma. They have no motivation to establish the truth. Their only interest is their own benefit. They think, let me put money in Swiss account. Let me enjoy the kingdom. Let me enjoy the state. I can fly around with helicopter. I can do this. I can do that. I can manipulate people. This is their motivation. But the motivation of those kings was to establish Dharma, to see that all the citizens were taken care of like his own children. And they were not compromising at all. There is a history of King Ashok. King Ashok was so righteous that outside of his kingdom, of his palace, they had a bell. And anyone could come and ring that bell and have direct access to the king and speak to him. So one day, he established a law that he would punish anybody who would be wrongly doing something. He was not afraid to punish the thieves, the rogues. You know, though in his kingdom there was no king and rogues. They all ran away to somewhere else because they knew if the king is going to catch me, he's going to cut off my head. So everybody used to sleep with open door. People used to go and eat, they leave the gold shop open, no problem. Nobody stole anything. So one day, a cow came and rang the bell of King Ashok. Somehow this king had a mystic potency to understand even the animals. So they come, the cow. The cow was crying. He said, what happened? He said, well, one chariot came and killed my calf, my baby calf. She couldn't run fast enough. was smashed and killed by this chariot and charioteer mercilessly. You had to take justice. You had to do something. The king said, yes, I will. So he sent his minister to find out who was the person who mercilessly killed a calf. It's a serious offense. The report came that was his own son. The king said, no mercy. The minister said, but it's your own son. He's going to be the prince of your kingdom. He said, no mercy. Punish him. It doesn't matter who it is. He was so strict that he would not allow anything to be unpunished. It's just the opposite of today's world. Democracy. It's called demon crazy, Srila Prabhupada says. A bunch of sudra elects some other sudras, and their interest is only to exploit each other. This is Kali Yuga. The cow was respected so much in the Vedic time. It's one of the seven mothers, and is the center of the Vedic culture, because from the cow we get, of course, milk, which is very good for the brain, and from milk we can do so many products, and cow urine and cow dung. There's unlimited benefit of taking care of the cows. So the kings, they were very, very aware. In Braja, they say that you cannot call yourself a Brajavasi unless you spend 1 year taking care of the cows. He said, only if you take care of the cow for 1 year, you're born in Braja, then you can call yourself a Brajavasi. Otherwise, you cannot. Like in Rome, they say you have to be for 7 generations born into a family of Romans, then you can say, I am a Roman. Otherwise, you cannot. Of course, somebody said that you had to go to jail also once to be Romans. But I don't know about that. So, how important was to take care of the Vedic culture is so designed that the Brahmana are taken care of by the kings, the Kshatriya take care and annihilate all the rogues and thieves and manage the state. The Vaishya produce wealth which is distributed to all the citizens in form of tax, and the Sudra the work. So this is a natural tendency. We can call it Varnashram Dharma, we can call it whatever we want, but this is present even today. Some people that are very intelligent, some people that are, they have a Kshatriya mood, a fighting mood, they have natural tendency to protect, so they become soldiers. Some of the people, they are business people, they want to protect cows, they want to create wealth, they see opportunity, they make money. And some people, they are sudras. It doesn't matter whether we are in China, in Russia, in South America, in Europe, in India. These four divisions are there naturally, or because they are created by Krishna. Chaturvarnya Maya Sustram Guna Karma Vibhaga Saha. So these different qualities of people, this is the quality of people. So yesterday Maharaj was mentioning that you can have a wonderful kitchen, but if the cook doesn't know how to cook, what can he do? He will burn something and give it to us. We say, oh, but you have a nice kitchen, it's all stainless steel, you know, 304. You have so many wonderful pots, so many, but if the cook doesn't have the quality, the goon to cook, whether a good cook, you can call him and say, okay, let's put 4 bricks under the tree, you give some piece of wood, it'll cook a fantastic meal. So the quality we are interested, that's what we should be interested in seeing people, the qualities. And each one of us, all of us, we are born with certain qualities. So it's important for us to understand what quality do we have, so we can engage those qualities in the service of the Lord. Now, of course, as we advance, we can transcend everything. But the natural tendency of the living entity is to be engaged in its own natural environment. This argument was put by Arjuna and Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said, Krishna, I will not fight. I don't want to kill all these people. But Krishna told him, see, if you go to the forest and you don't want to fight, you'll end up in fighting because that's your nature. Now either you fight for yourself or you fight for me. The moment you fight for me, you're performing devotional service. The moment you fight for your own self, it's sense gratification and you will be destroyed. So we all have different qualities. We have to understand what quality do we have, because it's natural for us to be engaged in certain activities. And of course, when we engage those activities in the service of the Lord, then we become transcendental. You can see in the pastime our Lord Ramachandra, when he was building the bridge for going to Sri Lanka to kill the Rakshasa Ravana, there was Hanuman who was throwing these huge boulders, and there was a small squirrel. He used to throw sand with his tail. Then Hanuman, sometime he became irritated because the squirrel goes very fast in between his legs. He's scared of stepping on him. So one day he stopped and said, what are you doing? You're wasting my time. Can you see we're building this bridge for the Lord so I can go and rescue Sitaleya? Why are you trying to throw the sand? What is the benefit of throwing sand? It's so small, you're so insignificant. Just get lost. At the moment, Ramachandra came and said, no, stop. What are you saying? The squirrel is doing service for me, and I appreciate his service. You maybe throw big, huge boulders, and you think you're very strong. I like it. Thank you very much. But I also like the small sand he's serving me. He was appreciative. So, the very important point is that we engage our nature in the service of the Lord. However minute or whatever quality we have, that can be engaged. And Lord Krishna will accept and reciprocate with us. Why? Because we are eternal servant of Krishna. And now somehow we are covered by illusion, thinking we are this body. But as a spirit soul, our natural dharma is to be engaged in a loving relationship with Krishna. So we have to uncover this fog, this darkness, this illusion. We have to remove, we have to clear. Chedodarpanamarjanam, Lord Chaitanya explained, by chanting the holy name, we can remove this ignorance of this identification with this body. I'm man, I'm woman, I'm child, I'm old, I'm young, I'm fat, I'm thick, I'm black, I'm white. I'm this and that, unlimited designation, which are contaminating the heart, which are contaminating the soul. Although the soul cannot be contaminated, it becomes color. Just like the sunshine every day. Today we cannot see the sun. The sun is not there. But that is because of us, we are in a certain place. The sun is shining there, but it's covered by the clouds. It's not that the sun is not there. The sun is there. We can't see it because we are obstructed by the cloud. So similarly, we cannot develop this loving relationship with Krishna when we are covered by ignorance. So this is a gradual process. You can remove ignorance, you can remove passion, you can come to goodness, which is a good platform for jumping to transcendence. And then we can become completely transcendental, and loving reciprocation can be established because it's already there. It's not something new. It has to just remove all its covering and establish the pure relationship with Krishna. In different rasa we have this relationship. And Krishna is very eager to take us back home, back to Godhead. And suddenly that we are obstinate, we want to be here, we want to enjoy. And I think, no, I want to enjoy. I want to stay here. Even the pig is eating stool, disgusting. He's thinking, I'm very happy. The rich man, he thinks, I have so much money, I'm very happy. The poor man think, I don't have anything, but hey, I have no responsibility. I am very happy. So everybody thinks, I'm very happy in this material world. I'm very comfortable. Just a little fine adjustment, and I will be completely satisfied. But Srila Prabhupada explained, what is the real problem in life? Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi. It doesn't matter what we do. At one point we're going to grow old and we're going to die. Death is inevitable for those who take birth, and birth is inevitable for those who die. So we've been in this millions and trillions, uncountable time. Sansara Dava Nanalida Loka, we are chanting every day in Mangalarti. This fire is burning all the living entity very fast. Sometimes we take birth as Brahma, sometimes we take birth as ant, insignificant. So many, 8,400,000 different species of body. They're all there waiting for us. And each individual desire will give us a particular type of body. Nothing happened by mistake in the creation of the Lord. So the jiva acquired, according to his desire, according to his karma, a particular type of body. So he can satisfy those desires. But that is an illusion. Jiv jago, jiv jago. How long we've been sleeping in the lap of Maya, thinking I am this body, which eventually is going to get rotten and it's going to die. The Supreme Lord is there, He's calling us in so many different ways. Yada, 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 masya, glani, dali, dali, avata. He said, give up everything. He comes to establish Dharma. And He comes in so many parts of the world in different format. He sent His messenger. But people are so grossly foolish. They say, no, I will stay here. There's a pastimes, husband and wife, they're very devoted to the Lord. So the husband is so pious that one day from Vaikuntha, the airplane came and said, okay, Lord Vishnu is telling you, come back home. Let's go in this jumping airplane, and we can take you to Vaikuntha. So the husband calling his wife, please come. The Vishnu do that, come, they want to take us back to Lord. No, I cannot come. I had to finish my duty in the kitchen. I had to cook, I had to do so many things. You go. She lost the chance. She got stuck. So we must understand how we can properly engage in devotional service. Now by ourselves, we don't have any piety. The piety we have absorbed is the association of the Vaishnavas. Even a fraction of a second of association with the Vaishnava can give us the greatest wealth, which is devotional service to the Lord, which is Amrit. Devotional service is called Amrit. You can see Garuda is holding one pot there. And the other hand is as a mudra. So in that pot, Lord Garuda, servant, dear servant of the Lord, the carrier of the Lord, he is carrying Amrit. And he's thinking, to whom shall I give this Amrit? Who qualify to take this nectar of immortality? What is the nectar of immortality? It's devotional service. The moment we engage in devotional service, we are open to the path of immortality. We can actually transcend in this very lifetime. We can go back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada clearly stated many, many times in his books, he just chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, follow the acharyas, take initiation, perform devotional service, chant, dance and be happy. Very soon you will be transferred to the spiritual world. This devotional service is so nectarine. Susukam kartum avyayam. It's very joyfully performed. Today morning we were in the Goshala with Prabhu's taking care of the cow. So beautiful the cows, the calm and mooing, the calm, and they want to be brushed by you, come and touch you. They can feel the reciprocation of love. That's what everybody wants, love. The cow wants love. The children want love. We want love, and we want to be loved, because the natural propensity of the soul is to love and be loved. How nice is to take care of these wonderful cows who are very dear to Lord Krishna, the cows. It would be nice to see more devotees involved with our goshalas. Whenever we have time, we can go and spend some time there in taking care of the cows, make sure that they are brushed, make sure that they have been taken care of, because the cow reciprocates. Just like when we let loose the calf, she jumps in excess and goes near the mother, and the mother feels so blissful, so happy. Oh, my child has come to drink the milk. You can see this is a natural behavior. Even the animal can feel that. So I invite all of you who have time to come and spend some time in the goshala. Whenever you can, we could make a rooster by which everybody can spend either 1 or 2 or 3 days in a month, or whatever time you can dedicate and develop nice relationship with the cows, and also help the goshala by taking care of them, because the cow become very happy when we reciprocate with them. This cow can give so much milk. But if we look at the goshala like a business, we think, oh, we're making milk, we sell the milk, we maintain the cow. It doesn't work in that way. Because the cow is an animal who wants loving reciprocation. If we look at everything with some paper and some points and some number, then we are transforming our society in something else. We lose the purpose. We are here to direct the jivas to go back home, but to God. We are not here just to collect some money and put it in the bank so that tomorrow we can eat. We have full faith that Krishna will supply to us whatever we need. In fact, Srila Prabhupada used to say in the temple, whatever money you collect, you spend it that day. Depend on Krishna. Tomorrow Krishna will send more money. Krishna will send us everything we need. But sometimes because we have fear in our heart, oh no, let me put money in the bank, otherwise tomorrow I cannot eat. But then one day, it's inevitable, the bank will crash and all the money will disappear. Then what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to go to the bank and say, sorry, the bank is bankrupt. There's no more money. Go and take it up to the government, make a court case, do whatever you want. There's no money. What is the value of money? Srila Prabhupada said the real value is the cow and the land. That is the real value for human beings. It's not gold. It's not diamonds. It's not motor car or motorcycle, airplane. All these are technical devices which can be vanished anytime. So we have to understand properly which direction we are going. We have a nice structure. We need a structure to work as an organization. But we need qualified people to take key position in order to make certain changes. Otherwise, we can become like the Christian Catholic priest from Rome, from the Vatican. They say, do what we say, don't do what we do. Why? Because they're not exemplary. They do all wrong things. But then they preach very nicely. Achar and prachar. We must be excellent in our preaching. Well, we must also be excellent in our behavior. When people see us, they think, wow, I want to be like them. They're so attractive, they're effulgent. Their relationship of loving towards each other is so great that I don't want to be in Calcutta. I don't want to be in Delhi. I don't want to be in Bombay. I don't want to be in Tokyo. I don't want to be in Rome, in Melbourne, any other place. I want to be with these people because they're such a loving relationship. They take care of each other. But when, see, everything becomes money, began disrupted. Then you start to think, oh, I'm getting only 6,000 rupees a month. Why am I here? I can go to New York, I can go to Maldives, I mean, I can go to Rome. I can make more money. But we are here for what? For performing devotional service. So in the very end of this life, we can go back home to Godhead. We haven't come here to make some money. We haven't come here to take some position. We haven't come here to become famous. We came here to serve the devotees, to serve Krishna, so that Krishna, by His blessing and the blessing of the Vaishnavas, can take us back home to the spiritual world. So we should never forget that. Sometimes it looks like the devotee that starts so many nice projects, building the temple, this, that, and then they get lost. So it's very, very dangerous. Unless we are always in association with the Vaishnava, there is every chance that we can be deviated. We shouldn't fall down to the lower platforms of ignorance and passion and become nasty again. We can lose the Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya say, I don't fear to be in a jungle with a fire. I don't be in the midst of the lions. I don't fear the flood, the rain, scorching heat. I only fear one thing, to be separated from the association of the devotees. So this is the greatest wealth. If we can remain always in a loving service of the Vaishnavas, these are our savior, they are our guides, they are our spiritual guides that can inspire us. With them we can make advancement. So in this way, it's very important that we understand where we are. It's like, you know, we want to go and fly to any other place in the world, we have to go to Calcutta airport from here. You can't fly from Mayapur, not yet. Maybe in the future we'll have a helicopter which takes us to the airport. But right now, you want to fly anywhere, you have to reach first the airport, get the ticket and fly. So similarly, it's very important for us to understand where we are, where we stand. If we think, you know, we are already somewhere else, that is illusion. Because we are 140 kilometers from the airport. So we have to reach the airport, whether by walk, by bicycle, by motorcycle, you know, by car, by bus, by train, by truck, whatever. We have to reach the airport, then only we can take the flight. So we have to understand where we are in order to make progress. And then step by step, elevation is there. You know? We can do this. Provided we remain humble. Trinadapi Sunijanata Rodapi Saishnana. We remain humble in a service attitude. We're only servant. We not come here so we have a big office, so we have air conditions, so we have cars, we have bank balance, then we think, oh, I am the manager, I'm a big guy. There's a mistake. We are not big guys. We have been put in whatever position in the service of the Lord. Whatever responsibility we may have, that has to propensity us to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Thinking always, I am the servant, or the servant, or the servant. And everything which we have belongs to Krishna. So everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. So if that mentality is established nicely in our heart, in our mind, then we are on the right track. And there are so many misconceptions. Yes. There are so many misconceptions about ourselves. Then we make misconceptions about our service, misconception about the organizational level, misconception. Finally, you know, we think, who is Krishna anyway? I am Krishna. We can become Mayavadi. We can become impersonalist. We can become Brahmavadi. We can become anything. So we have to clearly understand everything. That's called intelligence. Intelligence means understanding who we are, where we're going. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Sambandha means relationship. Abhidhaya means the system of this relationship, the techniques. Prayojana means the ultimate goal. So in this sambandha is this relationship with Krishna. Everything can be revealed. Dadami buddhi yogantam. Krishna says, I'll give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. But we have to use clear intelligence. If we are twisted intelligence, if we're still on the platform to enjoy our body, our mind, whether in secluded place, nobody sees us, or whether in front of everybody, what difference it makes? The vishaya, the poison of sense enjoyment, still in pervading our consciousness. So we have to reject that. We have to think with clear intelligence. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Then only that intelligence, Krishna can manifest that intelligence, that Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, then you can come to Him. Otherwise, if we don't have that pure intelligence, Krishna give us intelligence how to enjoy them, the facility, how to steal the money, how to become rich. If we have that desire, nothing is impossible for devotees. Because we are devotees, Krishna says, okay, you want to become rich? Okay, build one building here, make few crores of this, do this business there. Yeah, you'll give intelligence for that. But is that what we want? We become more entangled in the web of Maya. The idea is to minimize our demands of the body and the mind. Live a simple life in the service of the Lord. Not become more and more jammed, entangled, you know. That's not the goal of our life. We want to become free from all entanglement. So much so that some of our acharya, I think Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he wanted to become disinterested in tasting food, prasadam, even though it was prasadam. He used to mix Gangamati sand inside. So when you eat, what type of taste is there? You eat rice dasaji with the sand, some grains. Of course, that's very advanced, high level. But yes, we can take prasadam. But let's take enough prasadam to keep the body and soul together. We overeat, then we become influenced by ignorance, then we go to sleep more, we become very heavy, then we cannot function. We have to tune ourselves, fine-tuning. Krishna give us intelligence. Okay, you want to eat? Eat this, eat that. Something is good for us, a different type of body according to Ayurveda. Kapha, Vata, Pitta, there are three different guns. So each one of us has different body, which is different shape, different needs are there. Somebody can eat nice fruit in the morning, somebody can eat a mountain of rice and dal and sabji and be happy, no problem. You can digest. But if I eat the mountain of rice in the morning with the rice, now I'm going to sleep straight for 6 hours. Right after eating, I'm going bang on the bed. Because I can't digest it. Because I'm not working in the field. I'm going to sit in my office and I'm going to sleep. But of course, this is not to generalize. Each one has to understand, how can my body function to the best, to maintain my Krishna consciousness, to be always awakened, to see opportunity, how to serve the Vaishnavas, how to serve the Lord. In that way we can fine-tune ourselves. I mean, after 40, 50, 30, I don't know, somebody 60 years living in this body, by now we must have figured out what is the best thing we can eat, how we can be awakened and Krishna conscious all day. If we haven't, then we need to go to a dietitian, a doctor, an Ayurvedic person and say, okay, look, help me, I can't figure it out by myself. Tell me, how can I fine-tune my body so that I can work, you know, maximum amount of time for Krishna and be awakened and be, you know, very lucid, very clear thinking, how can I serve Krishna? Sometimes we need help. We can take such a help. Just like our motorbike or car breaks down, we take it to the mechanic and say, okay, here, you know, the clutch doesn't work, the gear slips, the brake don't function properly. Yes, okay, no problem, leave it with me. Next day you go and pick it up, it's working perfectly right. You know, you put the oil for the brake, you adjust the clutch, the gear, the bearing was broken, you change it, whatever it is. It's working fantastic. So sometimes we cannot understand how our body functions, because the body influences the mind, and the mind influences the soul. Srila Prabhupada explained, we can control the tongue, we can control the stomach, we can control the genital, we can control the mind. And what Lord Krishna said, those who control their mind, they are already on Brahman stage. Brahma Buddha Prasanatmana Sochati Nakanshati. Those who cannot control the mind becomes the worst enemy. Then you stop fighting with the mind. Why am I fighting this mind? Try to be awake, cannot. Want to eat this, want to eat that, want to do here. So many distractions. Then we lose the focus of Krishna consciousness. So, we are blessed. We are living in a place called Navadvip Dham, Mayapur. One of the oldest places on this planet. There is the bank, the Ganges river is flowing here. The chanting of the holy name is heard around. We are surrounded by Vaishnavas. There are so many temples. There's a beautiful deities. There's nice prasadam. So everything is optimized. We are in the best position to actually go back home, back to God. Now, we have to make the little step. Let me sincerely chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let me sincerely come in the morning program. Let me sincerely serve these Vaishnavas who are my benefactor. Let me listen Krishna Katha so I can become purified every day. And in this way, time will go very fast. In the end of our life, we remember Krishna, we go back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any question, I'm sure there are many great Vaishnavas here. If you have any doubt. Yes, Mataji. You have a big question written down in four-page format. No. Only nectar. Yeah, I like to read the nectar. Yeah, I can try. Mahaprabhu will be pleased. It will be taken up. This is from Mayapur, 17176, arrival address in the temple. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's aspiration that the Europeans, Americans and Indians all together danced jubilantly and chant Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari. So this temple, Mayapur Chandra Temple, is meant for transcendental United Nation. What the United Nation has failed, that will be achieved here by the process recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivite ache jatanadara digram sarvatra prachara haibe meranam. So we have come here from all parts of the world and are living together in this temple. So train these small boys. I am very glad especially to see the small children from all other countries and Indians, Bengalis, all together. Together with their body and consciousness. This is the greatest achievement in this movement, that everyone forgets the bodily conceptions of life. Nobody thinks themselves here as European, American, Indian, Hindus, Muslim, Christian. They forgot all this designation. And simply they are ecstatic in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So kindly, what you have begun, do not break it. Continue it very jubilantly, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the master of Mayapur, he will be very much pleased upon you, and ultimately you will go back home, back to God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki.